Welcome to Venturi's Voice. I'm Andy Davis. Venturi's Voice brings together thought leaders from a variety of industries who are taking the most innovative approaches to leadership and staffing. Imagine having a mix of experienced mentors sharing their secrets on leadership, recruiting, onboarding, engagement, and motivating, as well as stories on life lessons they've learned along the way. And it's free. If you're the head of a major corporation leading a team of hundreds or about to take on your first leadership role, this podcast is for you. This show is about you, and we're here to help you become the best leader you can be. Stay up to date with the latest shows by subscribing on iTunes and SoundCloud, as well as signing up to the newsletter at venturi-group.com, where you can find the latest IT jobs, talent, and blogs on all things leadership, staffing, and development. I'd love to hear from you, so drop me a line anytime via email at andy.davis@venturi-group.com. Any feedback or requests are always welcome. Enjoy the show.
Today's guest is Michael Michelis, the co-founder at IntelliStyle Limited.
Thanks for coming on the show. First and foremost, there's so much I want to ask you. I'm so compelled by really kind of your background, first of all, but on top of that, the space that you're kind of occupying at the moment as a kind of data engineer, sort of slash mathematician, as I think you like to be kind of referred to as. So I don't really know where to start, because there's too much to go at, to be quite frank. So I'll just kind of do this, based on the kind of the title, of data engineer and kind of mathematician. I talk to a lot of data people over the last, sort of 6 months, really. And a great consensus that I seem to be kind of pulling apart from those conversations is the implementation of data teams is really, really causes a shift in culture as much as it kind of pushes a shift in the approach and how we actually use data within the organization. I'd be interested to get your kind of take on that.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me. And I absolutely think that data and big data nowadays play a great role in organizations, and especially now that artificial intelligence comes into play, because the better data you have, the better decisions and the better software you can develop. That's something that we see a lot, and especially in the industry that I am involved. So getting the right data is also important, because we talk a lot about big data, but we also need to think about clean data and how we can make sense of them and how we can use them to drive the business forward and get the right insights out of them.
I totally agree. And I think starting that process the implementation part, to me, seems to almost be, that seems like it could potentially be the most challenging part of the whole process, really, is the implementation, because it's beyond just kind of doing stuff, because you have to work with a lot of legacy software, and legacy infrastructure. So, can you talk about kind of some of the, I suppose, larger challenges from your perspective?
Yeah, exactly. And especially as you mentioned, legacy software can always be a challenge. And there are times that you have to work with really ancient code, and you have to implement your own style into it, especially when you're new into joining an organization. Everyone, I think, has come up with that challenge in their careers at some point. And what's really important is to understand the value of it and see whether it makes sense to actually move to a most recent architecture. Especially in my previous company, everything was on-premise, and we decided to shift to cloud technologies. And that was a big change in the organization. Everyone, especially the executives, had to change their mind, and we had to convince them how is this the moving forward, and this is the future, and how we can go away from these legacy systems and build something new that will actually drive more value to the organization.
And, executing on that and building a team around that is challenging also. I think what's compelling about data and data teams at the moment is that you're getting people from such a variety of different backgrounds. I think you're kind of the more stereotypical, if you want to call it that, of, you know, the way people would perceive data people. But it's fascinating to just see, you know, what breadth, you know, of backgrounds people have who are now looking at data as a career and you know, being, you know, really productive in the data space.
Yeah, it's really interesting that you're mentioning building teams, because I think that's the most important aspect, especially in new businesses, creating a new team that could help you implement all your ideas and move quickly and collaborate effectively. And yeah, it's true that nowadays, because we have the big MOOCs, massive online courses that everyone can take from their home, it doesn't matter what you study at the university, you can always change in a couple of months, you can change a career path. And for me, I studied mathematics and I started taking some online courses on data science and data engineering and computer science. And that helped me move forward and understand the big shifts in technology and stay up to date. And yeah, I think it's really important nowadays, mostly to pursue your own passions and new hobbies, so you can understand why data is important to you and how you can use it in your own organization.
Yeah, I think because it's so important and it affects everyone now, I think that's ultimately what's, I think, bringing people, you know, closer to the data as far as just a basic understanding, if not, you know, being fully involved in what's going on with the data team. So with that being kind of said, you know, it kind of refers back to, you know, what I was mentioning earlier about, you know, really changing the culture, because you can't just have this kind of data team in the corner that's kind of going away with data stuff. You know, everyone has to be kind of bought in and, you know, approaching things from a, you know, from a data driven perspective, if you like. So, you know, I think with that, you probably need the personalities around you who are going to be able to articulate, you know, what a data team is actually trying to achieve.
Yeah, exactly. And as you said, it used to be that the data team were somewhere in the corner producing reports, but now they actually live in the center of the organization, because every organization is data driven and they drive the insights and KPIs from all this data, and they have to be integrated with every part of the organization, even with the marketing, with the product team. Everyone has to be involved with these teams. And they're actually, I think, we're moving towards to an era that they're actually driving the organizations forward, and the key decision makers will come from data backgrounds in the future, as we are actually seeing that already in startups and big companies.
Yeah, definitely. Well, the evolution of kind of the CDO, you know,
exactly. Yes,
really is kind of you know, prolific at the moment. We actually went to a big data conference not too long ago and have had a couple of kind of CDOs onto the show. So it's really interesting to kind of get their take on the role of CDO, because it's still, you know, a role is new when you get kind of 10 different answers from 9 different people, you know, on what being a CDO actually is.
Yeah, and in my previous organization, our CDO, our first CDO came from an MBA background, and then we moved to a PhD in mathematics. So it was tremendous shift from business to actually technical mind. And you could see the impact of these different minds, how they actually affect the business and how they were actually trying new things so they can bring more value out of this big data that they were sitting on.
It's probably like the sweet spot is somewhere in between the two, isn't it? You know, it's like if you could mold those two together, I'm sure you'd have kind of the perfect CDO.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, it's nothing black and white anymore. Everyone has to pick up a different skill as they go along in their career. So they have to bring at least a bit of everything in the mix.
It's really interesting. And I think probably fascinating for someone like yourself, to have been involved in data, you know, for a while now, but, you know, to still continuously see the evolution of it. You know, I know we spoke before the show. What is it now that you're kind of really paying attention to and are compelled by in the space? And what's, I suppose, really fascinating you and, you know, I suppose driving you forward at the moment?
I'm actually now involved in the retail space with my new venture. And what actually motivates me is the opportunities that the big data and data science, which is two different things, as I know many people confuse these days, but the opportunities that come forward, especially with the rise of artificial intelligence and how we can personalize services to each individual and offer unique insights and a better service to our customers, and being able to delight your customer with a truly personalized service is something that delights me, and something that actually makes me want to explore this further and provide a more valuable service to the customers.
Yeah, I think retail is a fascinating place, and there's a lot of different areas where I think it's going to be really compelling. I think e-commerce, you know, online retail, I think it's just going to be a fascinating space to see how a consumer-driven market is always kind of one of the more fascinating, really, especially when it applies to, you know, applying it to data, because it makes things better for people. You know, it's taking into consideration what they want and actually beginning to implement those things. And that's kind of what direction the world's going in, because, you know, I mean, for example, I was reading a journal not too long ago, and it was mentioning that they expect, you know, consumer, with regards to purchasing behaviors, that, you know, the consumer experience is going to outweigh price, you know, over a lot of decision making. And it's all going to come down to this experience. And that's what data is giving back to the people, isn't it?
Exactly my thoughts. And it's similar to the world of music. If you look to 5-6 years ago, when Spotify was taking off, everyone was used to rely for recommendations from their friends, or go to a concert, or to the local music store. And now they can just go online and get personalized music recommendation to their taste. And we haven't seen that in retail yet. And that's what's fascinating me, because I think we are in an era that someone is going to solve this effectively. And it's going to make a huge difference on how we're going to shop and how we're going to experience the shopping in the future.
I think so. So I think that's really compelling space that you've kind of entered. So, you know, your background, has it always kind of been in retail? What came before this space? And I suppose what kind of path have you taken that's led you to sort of where you are now?
I've always been interested in startups, so I've always pursued some side project on the side. And in my previous company, we were using big data for marketing, so I was working with a lot of agencies. And now I've switched to retail with my own business. With my co-founder, we're trying to solve this exact problem that we're talking about. And before that, in the university, I was building an online forum for mathematicians. So I was really involved in the mathematics community and how we can use mathematics in our everyday lives and basically make mathematics fun again.
It's interesting. So, you know, how good at mathematics do you need to be, you know, I suppose, relatively efficient as a data engineer? Do you think that they do necessarily go hand in hand, or do you think that someone like me, who's terrible at maths, has a shot?
I think mathematics help you develop a nice mindset and frame of working and how to approach problems. I don't necessarily think that you need a big knowledge of mathematics. And to be honest, even with the basics, if you practice a lot and you love what you do, you're going to find it easy. Because I think mathematics can go very deep, and it's And when we talk about data engineering, there are a lot of roles that are different for each one of us. So it actually depends on the role, but I think a basic understanding is absolutely necessary, and mostly is about understanding the basic concepts and how to approach problems and how you can solve problems.
Interesting, yeah. So it's really having that kind of problem-solving brain, I suppose, is essentially...
Yeah, exactly.
The ingredients that you need, really, you know, however you acquire that that kind of approach to things, that really is a key ingredient, isn't it, when it comes to, you know, a data engineer, data science jobs.
Yeah, and computer science degrees often give you this mindset as well, so it's quite similar, but mathematics tend to see at more theoretical concepts and take it a bit more deep just to understand how mathematics can be applied and what are the actual theorems behind it. So the practical knowledge is basically what you need, so I'd say that getting a mathematics degree is a bit of an overkill, if you might say.
You must, well, if you like it, why not, right?
yeah, if you like it, yeah, sure.
So, you know, as you mentioned, you know, you're kind of involved in a startup now, and you've always kind of had side projects, you know, on the go. I think that's important, for important element to have, is that willingness to just do things and do things that you enjoy, because I think a lot of people who start their own businesses, they're kind of doing that just to kind of do it, to say kind of I'm doing it, and it never seems to work out. But I think if you're genuinely interested and motivated and you would just kind of do something anyway because you enjoy it, I think that's when you genuinely have a shot at building a successful business. You know, obviously, business goes much deeper than just the enjoyment factor. You know, there's much more to it. When, you know, you've kind of been starting out on these different projects, what have you felt has been kind of some of the more challenging aspects of building the business? You know, we did mention the kind of recruitment process as probably one, but, you know, as well as that, have you been surprised at any stage really by, you know, how challenging certain things have been?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, yeah, for number one, it's getting the right team together. And I was lucky enough to find a passionate and brilliant co-founder, which is a rare combination this day. And moving on is difficult once you get your initial traction to start actually raising money from investors. I think every single founder that's starting his first startup was going to struggle with this. This is something we struggled a lot with. And there are various of challenges along the way that you need to overcome. But if you're passionate about what you're doing, you'll find a way. And if you have the right team to motivate you, you'll overcome these challenges. But it's really important that you fell in love with the problem, not your product, because the product is going to change over time. And ideas evolve, companies evolve. But if you stay focused on solving the problem that you set out to solve, and it's still a valid problem, then I believe that this is the number one motivation that you need. And that's what drives me forward.
I really like that. It's fall in love with the problem, not the product. I love that. I think it's so true, isn't it? It is so true. There's no one product stays the same. But I think it's having that vision, you know, and focus on what the problem at hand that you want to solve, and you know, working towards that, and you know, building something, whatever that X is, to solve that. You know, again, that's going to shift and change over time. But as long as you know you feel passionately about what you're working towards,
yeah, because you set out to do something that you like, but building a company around that, it actually involves a lot of different things, and you have to solve a lot of other problems that you end up working to the one thing that you didn't like in the end. So yeah, and I'm paraphrasing here a bit, but Elon Musk said something similar, that you fell in love with the problem and you end up working in all kinds of areas around the business except that the one that you actually want to work for.
Interesting. Yeah, it's so true, though. It is so true. And I think that even if you're, you know, you're not an entrepreneur, you know, you don't really have those kind of aspirations,
even if you're just working for a company, I still think the same principles apply. You know, what you're working towards should be what you're kind of into, you know, align your role with something that is solving a compelling problem to you. I think is the most important thing, not necessarily, you know, the company itself. I have this conversation a few times where people ask, because I've had startup experience myself. So, you know, people want to know, well, you know, wouldn't you want to work for an Uber or a Google or whatever the case may be, you know, these kind of big names. But it's not necessarily the name or even the job title, you know, it's about what you're actually doing. And what problem you're trying to solve. And as long as you're into that, you know, everything else is kind of irrelevant, isn't it? So it's find that, you know, whether it's starting your own business or working for someone, understand what you're going to be working towards. And as long as you feel passionately about it, you know, you're going to do well. You know, I think that's human nature. If we're typically into something, we'll probably do it quite well.
Yeah, and the ends justify the means, because if you actually do solve that problem, or you hear someone really happy with your solution, that will justify everything that you've been doing, all the hard work that you've been putting in, because we can't always enjoy that, the everyday work that we do. But if we eventually build a product or build a feature that we're happy about and solves a problem that we really care about, then it will be amazing, the feeling that you get after that.
I couldn't agree more. I could not agree more. So I don't want to, you know, obviously keep you too long. I was a bit late to the show, unfortunately, as well. So, you know, kind of closing down, it's the start of the year. I think it's always interesting to kind of see what your kind of predictions would be for kind of 2018 data trends. You know, what are you keeping a close eye on this year? In the kind of data space that you know are kind of bracing for, that may become a bit of a trend and something that, you know, you'll have to kind of keep an eye on and potentially, you know, change.
Yeah, I mean, in my space, of course, I'm gonna keep an eye of retail trends and how companies are using artificial intelligence to provide better experience for their customers. I do believe that we're gonna see a lot of new artificial intelligence startups getting traction and going big, and whoever is missing on that trend is going to stay behind. And I believe that big companies are starting to see that right now, and everyone's going to start hiring data scientists like crazy. I know we are. And yeah, I do believe that it's going to be a huge market for data scientists out there. And data engineers are not far behind from that, because this is basically very close roles, as you can understand. So, yeah, that's what I expect to see.
Brilliant, brilliant. Well, you know what, we'll leave it there. I think it's such a great, great point to finish on. So, thank you so much, mate. I really, really enjoyed it.
Thanks for listening to Venturi's Voice. Please make sure you subscribe at iTunes or SoundCloud, or check out the website, venturi-group.com, and keep up to date with the latest IT jobs, talent, news, and podcasts. Or drop me a line. It's andy.davis@venturi-group.com. Any feedback, topics, or guest suggestions are always welcome. And thanks again for listening to the show. See you next time.